Welcome to the Gestalt IT Rundown, where each time we meet, we run down the IT news of the week with a variable degree of snarkiness. I'm your host, Stephen Foskett, and joining me today as my co-host, filling in for Mr. Tom Hollingsworth, who is out on location in sunny Las Vegas for Cisco Live, we have Mr. Jeff Dunn. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hey, it's great to be here, Stephen. Can't wait to dive into these news articles.
Well, it's great to have you. You know, we're big fans. Thank you for introducing yourself to us. And I love what you're putting down over there, too. We'll give you a chance to talk a little bit about that more in the show. First, though, Jeff, I have to point out, today is National VCR Day. And so I just want to remind you to be kind and rewind.
Yeah, I don't even know if I have a VCR in my house anymore.
Well, if you do,
I'll rewind.
You better return those movies because Blockbuster is going to charge you a fee.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the stories this week. And frankly, there's a lot of financial stuff out there. First off, private equity firm Vector Capital has announced its agreement to acquire Riverbed Technology, a familiar name in the world of network performance management, WAN optimization, and more. Given the history of private equity in the IT sector, it's likely that Riverbed will soon be split up with some product lines acquired by others in hopes of unlocking that mythical beast known as shareholder value. Is this the end of Riverbed as we know it?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting whenever a VC firm does come in and take over a technology like Riverbed, right? Riverbed's been around for years now, and it's been the mainstay in WAN optimization, it seems like almost since the early days. I think Riverbed itself will probably be broken apart. And I know Riverbed is well known to the Tech Field Day folks. They've presented a lot there. So we've talked a lot about them on this program. I think the IP will live on in different ways. As they begin to look and see where they need to place the various pieces of technology that Riverbed has accumulated over the years. But I think Riverbed as an entity, as a brand, probably is going to be split apart here in the next couple of years, would be my guess. So another news item this week, Stephen, has been the China cyber actor living off the land concept. It's Volt Typhoon. And so let me just, cyber security authorities in the United States and other countries have issued this joint cyber advisory to address the concerning activities of a state-sponsored cyber actor known as Volt Typhoon, said to be operating on behalf of the People's Republic of China. This advisory released by the NSA and the CISA emphasizes the actor's utilization of a technique called living off the land to evade detection. By leveraging built-in network administration tools and blending in with normal Windows system activities, this actor can operate covertly, targeting networks in critical infrastructure sectors across the U.S. and potentially worldwide. How seriously should we be taking this threat of Volt Typhoon?
Well, first off, I've got to say Volt Typhoon sounds like another one of the big monster fighting kaiju from the Pacific Rim series. But I guess that's kind of what it is. You know, I mean, if you've watched much movies about espionage and so on, you know how it works. I mean, basically any Cold War espionage movie worked this way, living off the land. Essentially, you get in, you blend in, and you act natural. You know, you do normal stuff. You are you don't try to, you know, bust stuff up or break in or things like that. You just sort of live and expand and collect information. And it looks like that's what Volt Typhoon is doing here. What I'm reading is that they might have gotten in through a zero day in Fortinet FortiGate firewalls, which are a very, very popular firewall appliance, especially with the U.S. government. It looks like they've been island hopping, coming in Guam and other places in the Pacific, and putting their feet down and getting establishing a residence, let's say, in various IT systems. I don't want to stretch that metaphor too far, but essentially, once they're in, they're able to sort of blend in and just act as though they're just doing normal activities that normal people do on these systems. At the same time, they're using these tools that, of course, many of us are familiar with when managing systems, you know, NetSH and PowerShell and so on, and basically expanding, taking over more systems, getting acclimated and presence, and being ready. And I think that's the thing that's worrying about Vault Typhoon, is not that it's not the breach itself, but what the potential for this breach is, which is essentially that these threat actors, once they're in there, they can kind of do anything they want. And I will go further and say, does anybody think that this is only in the Pacific Islands, that this is only in Guam? No, I imagine that there's probably a very comfortable residence of basically cyber spies living all over the place in all sorts of different environments, just ready if their nation ever calls on them. So for me, that the story here is sort of worrying about the worry. The other story, of course, is that this was exposed and revealed in a very high-profile way by U.S. and international defense officials. In other words, they're saying, yeah, we know there's spies in our systems, and we're going to tell everybody about it. We're going to make a big deal about it. And again, that probably gets more into politics than into IT, but I think it shows how important this threat is. Jeff, NetApp announced a decline in quarterly revenues, down 6% year on year, and a 5.4% decline in profit. The company cited macroeconomic challenges, a slow demand environment, and headwinds from large enterprises as factors for affecting its performance, which is pretty much what companies say in these situations. Mm-hmm. NetApp's public cloud operations, which are pretty cool, we've seen a lot of that at Field Day, and some of their new product introductions, unfortunately, have not significantly contributed to its fortunes, and it's making the business control costs and be careful about where they're going in terms of profitability. At the same time, Pure Storage experienced a 5% decline in revenues at the same time, and this is the first time Pure has seen a decline in 8 consecutive growth quarters. The decline they attribute to slowed buying activity from enterprises and cloud customers as well, and the uncertain economic situation. Is there trouble in the world of enterprise storage?
Well, I think this is interesting on a couple of different levels. I can remember back, 15 years ago as a CIO having a conversation with one of my vendors and saying, hey, what are you going to do when I'm not one of your customers anymore? And they looked at me like I had 3 heads. And why are you going to a competitor? And it's like, no, I'm going to the cloud. So you've got to reinvent yourself. And I think that's what NetApp is in the middle. Yes, they've done some great things with their cloud storage options. And I know they're really pushing the FSXN, that's hard to say, a lot, which is leading to data-led migration. So you migrate your data first instead of your applications. I'm not sure I still totally understand how that's going to work as they do that. But I think the fact that this is spread across multiple vendors, you mentioned Pure, and there's a couple of others, I think it points more to enterprises are being very cautious with the economic situation right now. They're not investing in huge technology investments. They're just taking it slow. They're kind of waiting to see what happens over the next few months. And I think that's causing a lot of people just to reevaluate their investments. We'll have to see as we come through this year and get further into 24. Does that turn around? Do some of these investments that they've made in other technologies start to paying off the way that we would hope? I'm a fan of NetApp. I think what they've done is very good in the enterprise storage space. I've been associated with them for quite a few years and look forward to them kind of turning this around. And I think one of the things that you mentioned, Stephen, is their stock price actually went up on some of this news. So investors are looking at some of these things as maybe a positive, at least for now. And another thing that I've seen recently is Cisco and their acquisition of ArmorBox. Cisco announced its intention to acquire ArmorBox, a company that specializes in using large language models, which we've all heard about since the explosion of ChatGPT and others. And they're using it, this natural language understanding, in cybersecurity. This acquisition is a significant step towards their AI-first security cloud strategy. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show, as they're emphasizing during Cisco Live this week. By leveraging ArmorBlock's expertise in predictive and generative AI, Cisco aims to transform the way customers interact with and understand their security control points. We expect this technology will enable better attack prediction, threat detection, and policy enforcement, leading to improved security experiences for customers. What do you think about this, Stephen?
Well, first off, I was not aware of ArmorBlock before this acquisition announcement, but let me tell you, after looking into it, I got to say, this is some pretty cool stuff, and I wish I had known about it. Essentially, this is a company that focused on email security, and basically, they're trying to target those email attacks that we're hearing about and seeing. Financial fraud, data loss, that kind of thing, where you get an email. I mean, I've gotten an email from, from some of the people who work here at Gestalt IT saying, hey, can you please send me a list of our, accounts receivable what's the bank account and routing number again? That kind of thing, looking like it's coming from inside. You know, that kind of email threat is really hard to detect using conventional tools. And ArmorBlock basically is trying to attack threats like this using natural language processing and deep learning. And that is very, very smart. To have Cisco acquire them so quickly, I mean, the company, it looks like they were only founded back in 2017. To have Cisco acquire them, integrate them, I think is a really smart move for Cisco. Frankly, it looks like almost any company in this space would have wanted this technology. And it points to basically an expanding use of machine learning in a way that it really makes a lot of sense. In fact, I'm just going to put a quick pitch in here. This is literally the subject of the on-premise IT podcast that we're publishing on Tuesday, where we're talking about using machine learning as a way to enhance cybersecurity. That's exactly what ArmorBlock is doing. That's exactly what Cisco is doing as they're presenting at Cisco Live. And this acquisition makes just a ton of sense. All I can say is, kudos to the ArmorBlock team. It looks like you put something together pretty well, something pretty useful. And good call, Cisco, in acquiring it so early and hopefully affordably so that you can spread this technology around. Jeff, NVIDIA briefly reached a market value of $1 trillion. Joining the elite U.S. club of companies with such valuation, the surge in NVIDIA's stock reflected the increasing interest in AI and applications for the company's GPU technology. The company's shares have tripled in less than 8 months, driven by advancements in generative AI and a new market after the crypto collapse. While NVIDIA's valuation has surpassed that of its peers, analysts believe that the AI boom indicates that this stock could still be worth more. NVIDIA's focus on AI and its dominance in the GPU market and expansion into the data center market contribute to these growth prospects, wouldn't you say?
I really am a fanboy of NVIDIA. I love what they are doing. And we probably all know the story of they started out GPUs, right? Graphics processors for gaming. And they found other uses for their product and has just exploded. They first came on my radar it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago now, believe it or not, at the Kentucky Derby. I was at a presentation that NVIDIA was doing on their AI platform. And what I love that they did there, and they're repeating again, is they created this platform that people could come and use. You didn't have to invest in building out the platform yourself. You could use theirs to experiment with AI. On my podcast, I host the Status Go podcast. It's a podcast focused on technology leaders, CIOs, CTOs. And one of the things that we've been doing this year is exploring trends. One of the trends was metaverse. And I wanted to find out, hey, is this thing real, or is it just what we've been hearing about from from Facebook and other companies. And so I found George Matos. George is one of the senior product managers at NVIDIA, creating they call it the Omniverse, but leveraging AI, virtual reality, augmented reality, and bringing those together in real business solutions. That's what I always love about trying to explore this technology is where's the use case? And so George and I really bonded over the architectural and engineering space because I was CIO for a number of years for a commercial real estate developer. And so imagine blending these things together and providing the ability of a building owner to walk through the lobby of his building, his or her building, before it's even built and saying, oh, I want to change the tile or I want to change the lighting. And boom, it's there. And you're there in virtual reality. I think it's fabulous. And I think NVIDIA is, I know they went above the 1 trillion and came back down. I think they're going to go right back up again here in the next few weeks. Well, Stephen, in more news about another acquisition, BlueClat Networks has announced its acquisition of Indemni, a network infrastructure monitoring and automation platform. Just a month after the company announced the acquisition of Men and Mice, which we covered here on this program May 24th. Both acquisitions are designed to bulk up BlueCat's offering beyond DDI, DNS, DHCP, and IP address management, providing customers with improved network resiliency and proactive network health assessment. Indemni's platform analyzes device configurations and metrics, alerting administrators about existing and potential issues and recommending remediation steps using automation. What do you think about this additional acquisition by BlueCat?
Yeah, we were actually looking at Indemni already as a potential field day presenter because, frankly, their product is pretty great. I love what they're doing here. Essentially, they're focused on what we call day two infrastructure automation, which is basically making sure that stuff is still running the way we intended it to run and making sure that things are healthy and that configurations are monitored and that best practices are followed and high availability is followed. All those tasks that IT staff, IT operations staff are required to perform, especially around network management. So the product does some things like monitoring device health and comparing, basically what is the configuration supposed to be versus what is the configuration actually. It can also compare this against best practices. It can look at critical mismatches and vulnerabilities, compliance and security risks. All of these are the sorts of things that IT operations and especially network operations are needing to do on a daily basis. And all of these, by coincidence, are the kind of things that BlueCat customers are doing on a daily basis. In fact, I suspect that a good number of BlueCat customers were already Indemni customers or were looking at this solution. And this combination makes a ton of sense. Again, we talked about a couple weeks ago about Men and Mice, which was really all about DDI, DNS, DHCP, and IP address management, which again, not coincidentally, are exactly the kind of things that BlueCat customers are trying to get their arms around. And these day two challenges, in many cases, are far more difficult to address than what we would consider to be day zero or day one challenges, basically picking products, deploying products, that sort of thing. So overall, I got to say, kudos, BlueCat, great acquisition. And I really can't wait to see what you do with both Men and Mice and Indemni. Now let's take a closer look at a top news story of the week. As you've heard, Cisco Live 2023 is going on right now, and Cisco Live is one of the biggest conferences in the enterprise IT technology space. We're there with Tech Field Day. We'll be live streaming today. We also live streamed yesterday, and we'll be posting a bunch of really deep technical sessions with Cisco, including many of the stories that we're going to be talking about today, along with Backbox and OpenGear as well. So at Cisco Live 2023, Cisco unveiled a range of solutions for SSE, network management, observability, and a new cloud-native application security solution called Panoptica. I think they might want to look up the references on that one. The event, which includes a performance by comedian Jim Gaffigan, one of my personal favorites, highlighted Cisco's focus on simplifying user experiences and addressing the evolving needs of organizations. The Security Service Edge solution aims to streamline access and enhance hybrid work experiences, while the integration of generative AI into the security cloud improves security operations and efficiency. Cisco Networking Cloud offers a unified framework for network management, addressing challenges of complexity and fragmentation. The full-service observability platform brings together data from multiple domains, enabling comprehensive insights, while Panoptica, as you could guess, brings together end-to-end lifecycle protection for cloud-native applications. We're getting more details on all of these products at our Tech Field Day sessions at Cisco Live, which included presentations from Cisco Security, ThousandEyes, and Enterprise Networking yesterday, and we will hear from Cloud and Compute, Secure Policy, and IoT today. Now, let's dive into a few of these things. Jeff, let's start off by taking a look at Secure Service Edge.
Yeah, Cisco has unveiled its new Security Service Edge, SSE, as everybody knows, aiming to simplify access and enhance hybrid work experience across any device, location, and application. The company is integrating generative AI capabilities into its security cloud, allowing for simplified security operations and improved efficiency. Cisco's innovation in firewall, multi-cloud, and application security aligns with its vision for the security cloud platform. These new offerings include Cisco Secure Access, which provides a common access experience and a single cloud managed console, as well as enhanced threat detection and response capabilities. Cisco is also collaborating with mobile device vendors like Apple to ensure secure and seamless remote access. Additionally, Cisco is previewing generative AI features for reducing policy complexity and expediting threat response, while also introducing the Cisco Secure Firewall 4200 series and Cisco Multi-Cloud Defense to bolster its network security for hybrid work environments. This company's integrated approach extends to cloud application security with new capabilities, as you talked about earlier, Stephen, Panoptica, offering enhanced protection for cloud-native applications. And I think this hits on it, that hybrid work environment and the need to secure the edge, as we all experienced during the pandemic, our perimeter just exploded. And we have to do things to secure the remote worker, secure the distributed worker, as well as the proliferation of IoT devices that need security as well. I think this is a great step.
Yeah, I want to dive into Panoptica a little bit. First of all, I have to mention that a Panopticon was a institutional design from social theorist Jeremy Bentham, which would make all prisoners in a prison visible to guards at all times in all of their activities, which is why the name of this product is interesting. Cisco's Panoptica, not Panopticon, is a cloud-native application security solution. And it's designed to provide end-to-end lifecycle protection for cloud-native application environments. What does it do and how does it do it? Well, it includes code and build protection, an attack path engine for securing modern hybrid cloud applications, and more. It also integrates the security insights for cloud-native observability, for real-time visibility and risk management. This is an interesting solution for Cisco, because it really focuses on the developing world of cloud-native applications, which, as we've spoken about many, many times, are rising in importance in enterprise technology. But when people talk about cloud-native applications, I bet their first thought is, hey, let's talk to Cisco about that. I bet that they're thinking, sort of a lot of these next generation companies and cloud service providers and AWS, and heck, maybe they're looking stuff up on GitHub or whatever. But Cisco, I think, is reacting to the real change in enterprise tech, where companies are introducing cloud native application development teams with next generation applications coming out of them. And all of those things need observability. They need to have a platform that allows operations to make sure that everything is running correctly. Frankly, maybe the panopticon metaphor isn't so bad, because essentially what we've got, if you think of the containers that all of these applications are running in and all the microservices as Bentham's prisoners, you think of the Cisco Panoptica as the prison guards, they really do need continuous observability, continuous observation to make sure that everything is functioning the way it's supposed to. It's just a little bit too on the nose for those of us who studied philosophy, the name that is.
Well, you mentioned that we may not look directly to Cisco for cloud native application help, but one area that we will look to Cisco for is our networking. And so they also unveiled its vision for the Cisco Networking Cloud, an integrated management platform designed to simplify network management and provide a unified experience for customers. This platform aims to address the challenges of network complexity, fragmentation, and lack of visibility by offering cloud-driven automation, rich network insights, and collaboration with partners. Cisco is introducing components such as single sign-on, API key exchange repository, cross-platform navigation, and a common user interface to enhance operational simplicity and reliability. Additionally, Cisco is expanding its network assurance capabilities with Cisco ThousandEyes for end-to-end network visibility and automation, as well as introducing improvements to the data center and AI data center blueprints. The goal is to streamline IT ops, improve user experience, and drive measurable business outcomes. And I know, Stephen, earlier you mentioned that the field day delegates are at Cisco Live. And they've probably had conversations about just this as they've listened to some of the product announcements. I think this one for Cisco is a direct hit on target, bringing together the network management in a single platform. And some of the things that jumped out at me in this announcement were that they're working with collaboration with other partners. Not something that you typically see out of Cisco, and definitely not something you see out of the most of the clouds. So being able to have a hybrid cloud platform architecture, have a mixed architecture of on-premises and cloud, and being able to manage that network through one set of one pane of glass, one set of eyes, I think is a great step forward.
One set of eyes, 1,000 eyes in one.
Yes, yeah.
We've seen 1,000 eyes previously, a very impressive solution. And it seems like this, again, this theme of Panoptica, of, networking cloud and 1,000 eyes is continued with another announcement from Cisco Live, which is the full stack observability platform. Now, this is based on OpenTelemetry, which analyzes metrics, events, logs, and traces, which is euphemistically called MELT, from any source. And again, we're looking at a product that is open, that is focused on cloud-native architecture and next-generation applications, and that includes partners. So Cisco is talking with a number of different partners to develop solutions and expand their full stack observability platform as well. And I think that this is really what's needed in modern enterprise tech. But again, I will get back to my point, which is that many people might not have considered Cisco to be a key partner when it comes to application development for modern cloud native, next generation, hyperscalable apps. But I think that Cisco is absolutely laying down the gauntlet here and saying, no, you need to take us seriously. We are part of this environment. We're part of the enterprise. We're a trusted partner to major enterprises. And we have tools. We have technologies. Some of it is acquired. Some of it is open standards. And some of it is in collaboration with partners that allows us to do so much more than what you might have thought from Cisco in the past. And for me, that's a pretty positive development, and frankly, a pretty positive message to be to come out of a conference like Cisco Live. So all I will say in summary is keep an eye out. Don't write Cisco out. In fact, maybe give them a chance to explain what these platforms are all about. And, you know, maybe check out some of the videos from Tech Field Day at Cisco Live, where you can learn a little bit more about these things strategically, but also nuts and bolts. And what do these products really do and how do they really work? Now, before we go, let's take a look at what's coming in the weeks ahead. As I mentioned, Tech Field Day is at Cisco Live this week. You'll see presentations live streamed on LinkedIn and the Tech Field Day website yesterday and today, June 6th and 7th. Yesterday, we heard from OpenGear as well as some Cisco components. Today, we're going to hear from Backbox as well as more from Cisco. Next week, I'll be in Las Vegas for the Pure Accelerate conference. I'm looking forward to hearing more from Pure Storage, and we'll be producing some content there as well. Then we've got Security Field Day 9 coming up real soon in June. Following that, we've got Edge Field Day 2 and more Field Day events coming one after another. So keep an eye on the Tech Field Day website. Also, check out itecal.net, where I maintain a list of enterprise IT conferences, and you'll be able to see what's coming up in the future. Before we go, Jeff, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your podcast.
Thanks a lot, Stephen, and thank you so much for allowing me to sit in today. Hopefully I held up my end of the bargain as we went through this. I've been a career IT professional, 40 years in technology, mostly on the practitioner side of the desk. Spent 35 years doing that. Also have been a part of the dark side, the vendor side. I was with a company by the name of Intervision Systems. Today I host, among other things, I host a podcast called Status Go. We're focused on the technology leader who wants to break out of the status quo, cover a wide variety of topics, leadership, trends in the industry, and things that should be on the mind of the CIO or the CTO. It's been a pleasure to be here today, Stephen, and I'm looking forward to continuing our relationship.
Absolutely. And I would definitely recommend our readers to check out Status Go. Really is a great and almost, you know, inspirational in sometimes podcast. And thank you for joining us for the Gestalt IT Rundown every week as well. You'll catch new episodes every Wednesday as a YouTube video, or of course, you can find audio in your favorite podcast application. While you're there, we would love a review. We would love a rating, of course. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a subscription. We'll be back next Wednesday to talk about more of the IT news of the week that was, and I think I'll be coming to you live from Las Vegas then. Until then, for myself, for Tom Hollingsworth, Jeff Tun, and all of us here at the Gestalt IT family, we hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.